Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For the talk this evening, I am mostly going to read from emails that I received from a doctor in Croatia. A lot of what I'm going to read is not directly connected with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. It's the impressions of a doctor about the COVID reality that he faces. I'm reading this because quite a few devotees that I'm in contact with are quite convinced that the COVID thing is a non-thing. It's all dreamed up, and there's no such thing, and it's just been made for controlling people. All such things may or may not be true, but I'm going to read the real life experiences and anxieties of a doctor who I'm in touch with also. This doctor, he's not an ordinary doctor. He's an extraordinary person because he is a devotee of Krishna. We're talking about Marijan Bilic from Croatia, Murari Gupta Prabhu, who I first met over 20 years ago when he and his wife were medical students. They are now both senior doctors in rural Croatia. They chose to live in rural Croatia rather than in the city because from their student life they've been devotees of Krishna and they wanted to raise their family in a rural situation, be that considering that more conducive for Krishna consciousness. If they'd have been materially ambitious, they could have emigrated to America and done more study and made lots of money, but they are spiritually ambitious. Their spiritual ambition has always been to serve the Vaishnavas. That is the crux of their life. Now they're in the middle of the COVID pandemic. So I'll get into this. I've given a few talks on the COVID situation, how we should see it through the eye of Shastra. Our spiritual guide, the spiritual guide of the whole universe, Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada, he gave us the eyes whereby we can see all situations, individual, social, national, international, through the eye of reality, through the eye of eternity, through the eye of infinity, through the eye of knowledge, through the eyes of Krishna, given by Krishna. So I've been addressing issues concerning a matter of great concern for the world, the COVID issue, whether you believe that there is such a thing as this pandemic, whether you believe it's a CIA plot or a Chinese plot or whatever you believe, it's pretty much undeniable that on this tiny little planet that we live on, it's a major phenomenon at the present time. So I've been speaking that, trying to shed some light on that from the transcendental spiritual point of view. And Murari Gupta Prabhu, Dr. Marijan Bilic, sorry if I pronounced your name wrongly, he has been sharing some thoughts with me. I've been asking him some questions. And okay, let's get into it. As he, yeah, he shared some thoughts with me in response to one of my talks, and then we had some email exchange. So I'll get into it, and I'll make some, I'll read parts, I'll paraphrase parts, I'll insert some comments, and so on. I'm also leaving little bits and pieces out. Okay, here we go. When the pandemic started in March or April, around that time, that's 2020 in our country, Croatia, we were afraid. We means, I'm not sure, but I guess it's himself and his wife at least, if not most of the people in the country. We were afraid. We thought that the mortality rate would be higher because in Italy, which is the next door country of Croatia, and it was especially in North Italy, there was, it was very badly hit at that time, just before that, by the COVID outbreak. And in Italy, many doctors had died from it, and many medical staff were committing suicide. And those that weren't committing suicide were highly stressed and suffering. So in Croatia, especially, the doctors were afraid. They knew that, the doctors knew, if everyone, even if everyone else didn't know, that they didn't have enough medical masks and other equipment required to deal with the situations, because wealthier countries had bought it from China. You may remember that there was a shipload of supplies going from, where was it, China or somewhere, to Venezuela, and the American Navy intercepted it and stole it all. That's an interesting one, because they said, we need it more than you do. That's called piracy, isn't it? Not when the Americans do it. And then more frustration for the doctors. The politicians were publicly claiming that we have enough equipment, we're well equipped, we're fully equipped, because they don't want to say, hey, look, we're not in the slightest bit prepared. They don't want to say, as politicians, that you voted us in, but we're completely unprepared for this. And there was the masks which are required, especially for the medical staff, they were saying, anyway, we don't have enough, but anyway, the masks are useless. And we, this will, this we here refers to Murari Gupta Prabhu and his wife. We were thinking, what would happen with our children, who are both just young teenagers? And they were thinking, what will happen, especially if we die? The teenagers weren't expected to die, but it's quite possible the doctors would. And actually, our fear was unfounded, because the first wave of COVID virus in Croatia was very mild. But the second wave that came in very heavily, and that's what they've been dealing with more recently. But in the first wave, it was the kind of fear that you have when part of it was fear of the unknown. You don't know what to expect. Even the doctors, they've not dealt with this kind of situation before. When his time came, before he had to go to Murari Prabhu, before he had to go to the COVID emergency ward, he couldn't sleep at all the night before. And he's giving the example, it's from the Mahabharata, where it's described that there was one family in one city. There was a pact with a Rakshasa who was living in the vicinity. It means a man-eating monster. So the authorities in the city had made a pact with that Rakshasa. Look, instead of just running into our city and grabbing people here and there, we will send you every week or every month or whatever, we will send you one person for you to eat. So they thought that was, we can't do anything about this monster, so we'll make a deal with him. So that was the deal. And then there was one family, it was their turn to send a member of their family, and they're all discussing with themselves. The father said, I should go anyway, I'm old. And the mother said, no, no, the children need you more, I will go. And the older son was saying, no, no, I, and they were all trying to volunteer. They knew one of them had to die. And as it happened, by the arrangement of Bhim, and he went and he killed the monster. Anyway, but they're just saying that we felt like it's quite likely we're going to die. And then our family members, one of us out of the two doctors, well, I may die, and then the other may die, and then, or the other may die, and then what will happen to the family? I couldn't chant Hare Krishna that night. I couldn't read the books. I just couldn't sleep. Completely lost my composure. And just after that, his friend, an old friend, devotee, Dvijanayak, sent him some COVID jokes. And then, you know, there are so many COVID jokes and making jokes about how it's just all a big scam and all this, and all different kinds of jokes. So Murari got in touch with him and said to him, look, don't send me these jokes. I'm going nuts. I'm afraid I will actually lose my mind. He was playing online chess just to divert his mind, try to keep the mind engaged in something. And then he told Dvijanai. So Dvijanai said, oh, okay, all right, I understand. I'll try and help. So he still kept on sending the COVID jokes, but he kept on sending quotes from Srila Prabhupada, giving some philosophical perspective. And we started to talk, Murari said, we started to talk among ourselves about the spiritual philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he actually started, and then Murari said, I started to read and actually study the Bhagavatam, the very deep teachings, the ancient teachings of which describe our eternal spiritual relationship with Krishna. And then what I was studying, you can imagine in this situation, it's like a man who's told that you're going to be shot tomorrow, and then how deeply, how are you going to read scripture at that time? And then Murari said, I was sharing that with, sharing what I'd read with Dvijanayak. So the hypothetical fear got replaced by more practical concerns, down-to-earth, tangible, real problems. The kids started to go to school online, which means they didn't go to school. And they soon started getting bad marks, and we, the parents, thought it was due to lack of real contact with the teachers. So we tried to help them and help them to go through the courses, although the parents themselves were out of touch with the subjects, but they tried to help them. And the parents themselves were exhausted with their long shifts. And even though they're used to long shifts, but usually it's mostly routine, but now it's not routine. They were tired from work and psychologically exhausted. And then what happened, they realized that when both of them are out, both the parents are out on the working as doctors, usually the kids are at school. Now the kids are at home, they're on the computer, there's no one to supervise, they're not going to school, they're going all over the world and wandering around the internet and watching all rubbish, and that's why they're having bad marks. They were playing hooky. And they were also, Murari and his good wife, they were also very deeply hurt to understand that their main service, they work all year long, and then their holiday period, they host without any cost. They spend their money, they put their time, their energy to host festivals in their country area and invite so many Vaishnavas, and that's their pleasure in life. They work hard all year, and then they work even harder at the time of the festival to arrange festivals for the devotees who come, and they realize this is our life, but it's not possible. We won't be able to have it due to the restrictions, due to the pandemic. And soon they start thinking, well, our Hare Krishna explosion has become a Hare Krishna implosion. Instead of the Hare Krishna people going out in the streets, chanting, selling books, everyone's at home. But at least they're studying and this and that. But many people, I don't think devotees so much, because they have something to occupy their mind very well to bring them up to a higher level. But many people, due to being locked down at home, they lost their mental equilibrium. Sundari, the wife of Murari, she was always in good conscience, as usual. She's a rock. She just, nothing's going to get her down. She's just always fully absorbed in all her life, in working hard for Krishna, for the Vaishnavas. So what did she do? Although she'd never done it before, she brought a harmonium to work. Work means to the clinic or hospital or whatever. And she quoted from Bhagavad Gita that Sukhina Kshatriya Partha Labhante Yudham Idrisham, that the Kshatriyas, the fighters, are very happy to get an opportunity to fight. So this is a great opportunity to share our Krishna consciousness with others, because everyone's so frazzled and frightened. So now if I go and chant Hare Krishna, they'll hopefully appreciate, which they did. Her colleagues in the medical staff. Colleagues means they're mostly all, I think they're all under her. Like I say, they're senior doctors now. Then in response to my question that, are you, Murari, and other medical staff overworked? The reply is, yes. But it depends where we're working. The medical staff in general are overworked, but himself, due to being a GP, general practitioner, he's in a somewhat better position. But in the hospitals, the doctors in the hospital, he's a village doctor, Murari. And now he's in, as far as I remember, he's in Ogulin, a local town, small country town. But in the hospitals, the doctors in the hospitals, they're very much overburdened, especially during the second wave, which has been very, very, very serious. Gynecology wards, surgical wards are all transformed into COVID wards due to the constant influx of COVID patients. At the peak of the second wave, which was just a month ago, he wrote this to me about a week ago, we had 4,500 new cases in the country daily. And these are just the cases which are discovered and recorded. On one recorded case, usually comes around 5 patients who are asymptomatic and just not known about, but they can be spreading it also. Putting that into perspective for me, I'm living in India. India has 360 times a larger population than Croatia. That would be, for India, 1.5 million recorded new COVID cases daily. And 10% of these recorded cases would come daily into the hospital in severe condition. The hospitals were overcrowded and didn't have enough anesthesiologists who are required for this kind of patient. And not enough anesthesiologists. and probably not enough equipment or anything. So what happened is that other doctors were called in to work on the COVID wards, and then he says, you can imagine what happens. COVID, it's more, you can say it's a case of pneumonia, pulmonary disease. So you have a dermatologist working in the pulmonary department, and he doesn't really know. Well, he's a doctor, he's a specialist, but it's not his field. He doesn't really know what he's doing. You can just imagine someone is something like a civil engineer. He knows how to build roads, and say, our ship needs repairing. It's marine engineering. We need an engineer, and they call in someone who's expert at building roads. He doesn't know anything about repairing ships, but you have to send the so it's chaotic, to say the least. And there wasn't, and the wards were so crowded that they erected, outside the hospitals, they made heated tents with beds for the overflow of patients. And in the middle of all this mess, the politicians, what made it worse is the politicians come on TV and say, everything's under control, don't worry. And the doctors, knowing that they don't know much about this, they hardly know anything about the disease, and they can make mistakes. Any way you can make mistakes, even if you're an expert in a field, you can make mistakes. And there's no one expert in this field because it's a new disease. Then I asked him about the feeling in the medical community in Croatia, and had any died. And he replied that those who were on the COVID wards, especially, as you can imagine, they were stressed and frustrated. And that's the general feeling in the medical community. The one, from one side, the lack of limited resources. You want to help the patients, but you may not have the knowledge, even if the knowledge, you don't have the facilities and the equipment. There's no specific remedy for the virus. We don't know much about it. We don't know why one patient may have it and practically nothing happens, or very mild symptoms. Someone else, the body is ravaged and damaged, even if they're cured, and someone else just dies. It's just like, for instance, the doctors, they've seen many people die, doctors, medical staff, but usually how it's going on, and then you can help the patients through it. Just like with cancer, someone is dying, the body is slowly turning off, person often becomes lethargic and withdrawn. If there's pain, as in cancer, there's pain, you can give painkiller, can help to some extent. It can be such severe. But here, you have to watch a person in full consciousness, and his level of blood oxygen is decreasing rapidly, and you give them oxygen through pipes with the ventilated, concentrated oxygen, and you see them fighting, but they're losing the battle, gasping for air, skin becoming blue, because the oxygen's going in but it's not getting absorbed, and you're in the midst of around 100 patients, and one of them is going down right now, and everyone else is seeing, and they're in full consciousness, and they're holding your hand and begging you to help. And it's not surprising, he says, that some of the medical staff committed suicide. In Croatia, there's only been one case like that, but in Italy and the United Kingdom, many more such cases. The flow of oxygen in the pipes in our hospital was so high, they had around 200 patients, and they needed 80,000 liters of oxygen every hour. The pipes exploded, and then you're really in a mess. How many medical pipe repair experts do you have on hand? Frustration was from doctors was not just because of all this. There are even more reasons. We're living in a parallel world, a parallel reality. We're cut off from, on the one hand, we're right there in the midst of the most painful, mental, physically and mentally painful thing going on in the world. On the other hand, we're cut off from the rest of the world because no one wants to have anything to do with doctors if they're not, if the people are not sick. And the doctors themselves feel a responsibility not to mix with the public outside of their professional sphere. And Murari says that his own mother is under chemotherapy, and in the last year I only visited her once, because he's aware that we can bring the virus and kill others by spreading the virus. If the general population just say has a chance, say 5% to catch the virus, then the doctors are more like in the 50% situation. So even before all the restrictions were imposed, when in the first wave, when it was very mild, he personally restricted himself from, even though he would be allowed in his spare time to mix with others, he didn't, and even didn't mix with devotees, didn't go to Sunday feasts, and so on. And in the meantime, another cause of frustration in the midst of all this was that people wanted to go on with their lives as usual. Mostly the younger people, that's common for young people. You think, I'm strong, I'm healthy, nothing can go wrong. Even if I get sick, what does it matter? I'll recover. So they wanted to go on enjoying life as usual, just going to bars, beaches, soccer games, cinemas, hang out, booze, and be happy. Their idea was, well, even if there is a problem, let's drink and we'll forget. Drown your sorrows. And even if they're infected, they didn't want to go into quarantine, which is pretty antisocial. They didn't care for others, or the possibility they could infect. I'm young, I'll survive, but they may infect someone who doesn't survive. But it was widespread, this syndrome of selfishness, Murari is saying, in Croatia, maybe in other countries also. They didn't care for their elders, who are more likely to die if they get, or be severely affected if they get the virus, nor for the overburdened doctors, and they'd go to parties, and then later if it became known that an infected person had been to a party, then the government would want to quarantine everyone. So what would happen is the people, if they found out that young people had been to a party, or younger or maybe older, been to a party, and then they found out that someone had been detected with the disease, with the virus, and then they found out he'd been at a party. So before they could clamp down on everyone else, the healthy participants would call in and make an appointment to get tested so they could get cleared ahead of the people who are actually infected. They were trying to avoid the quarantine if they get clearance. My wife, Murari said to one decent Christian family, they would have to go into. She said to one woman that she'd have to go into quarantine, and the woman was, her patient was dead set against it, and Murari's wife said, "Hey, come on. It's good. You're having a 10-day break. It's like you can take it like a vacation. The government's going to go on paying you. You can spend time with your family." And she said, she got a reply, don't say that. If I have to stay in a flat for 10 days with my husband and kids, we'll kill each other. And she wasn't joking. She wasn't joking. A good Christian family, if I have to stay boxed up with my family, and after a few days, she sent someone to get from her family doctor, namely Sundari Senka, Dr. Senka, a medicine called Aporin, which is an anxiolytic, which I should have looked up before I came here, but it probably, by the name of it, it probably means something that suppresses the symptoms of anxiety. Another cause of frustration for the medical staff. They were fed up with democracy. In China, there's a monarchy or a dictatorship or whatever you want to call it, in which the leader says, social distancing, wear masks, this town, the whole town will have to go into a lockdown for such and such a period. As a result of this forceful control of the population, there's no COVID. Whereas, Murari says, in democracy, every Tom, Dick, and Harry can say something about COVID, especially if he's a politician or a footballer or a famous film star. And then you have to make a demonstration. We have to have movies about the COVID conspiracy telling us that the masks are harmful, the virus doesn't exist. And Murari quotes the saying, an opinion is like, opinions are like anuses. Everyone has one. It's not something to be especially proud of. That, well, in my opinion, I think there's no such thing as... What's that cough? No such thing as COVID. Yeah, I'm going to say, oh, you got COVID. No, there's no such thing. And it's just, according to Murari, Dr. Murari, who's dealing with this thing, you can try and tell him there's no such thing as COVID, but it's like, I don't know, what's an example? I was going to say, telling a fish there's no such thing as water. Maybe a fish doesn't know there is water. It's ridiculous to him to say such a thing. But he said that some of the people, even their patients who are dying from COVID, say there's no such thing as COVID. They're still convinced it doesn't exist. And the disease is just like any old flu. And he said that regularly we're getting emails from our beloved devotees and SMSs. Hey, look at this video telling you how COVID masks are all useless. Look at this video, how it's this conspiracy and that conspiracy. Look at this video about vaccination. It's all a big scam. And so Murari said, we didn't reply to any of these. We don't want to discuss it. Because we have a nice relationship with these devotees, but if we just try to point out to them, actually, this is the situation as we see it, as doctors at right in the heart of it, they have the feeling, the people have such strong feelings about this that even long-time friendships can be broken because the people are convinced that there's no such thing as COVID or it's a big scam, it's overblown, and that they won't agree. They're trying to enlighten us for our benefit. And we don't have time for that, you're saying. And it's just like he gave the example of myself when I was lying down most of last year and I was saying, hey, look, I was lying down due to some medical condition, and the first thing I'd say is, please don't send me your medical advice. Because everyone has medical advice. So every doctor's an ex- Every devotee knows everything about every disease, and they can give proper advice, it seems. And I'm not the only one among those who give recorded talks. I have this condition. Please don't send me medical advice, because you have so many people sending medical advice, as if everyone knows they've got the magic wand which will cure everything, and so on. They won't. Anyway, getting to a bit of... Let's get to the spiritual side now. I'm just painting the black picture. And it's not me, it's Dr. Murari saying it is a pretty black or bleak picture which he's seeing. His realizations. I'd ask him about some realizations, because we're supposed to see everything in a spiritual light. In seeing in the eye of eternity. Everything in this world is temporary. This world is full of suffering. COVID or no COVID, the world is full of suffering. COVID is a particular manifestation of this suffering. So I asked Murari, so what are your realizations? He's been practicing Krishna consciousness for over 20 years, quite a bit over 20 years, and been studying, chanting, serving Krishna, serving the devotees. And what are your realizations in this present situation based on your years of absorption in Krishna consciousness? So he wrote that, if one reads Srila Prabhupada's books with intelligence and understanding, he will find everything there. In this really messy situation, one has to remember what are the important things in his life, and that is Krishna and their devotees. After all, Arjuna was in a messy situation, and Krishna taught us through Arjuna. Arjuna was in a real life crisis, and Krishna taught the Bhagavad Gita to him in that situation. Murari Gupta writes, I am not an exalted devotee. I, as your guru, I have to correct you on that. You're wrong. You are an exalted devotee. But he says in his humility, I am not an exalted devotee who will never fall in Maya and who will accept at once that every situation is Krishna's mercy. But in these situations, it is very important to be honest. First, one has to be honest with oneself and then with others. One has to have at least one or two good friends in Krishna consciousness and be able to say to them, look, I'm breaking down, I'm in Maya, I need some help. In my case, Dvijanayak Prabhu was priceless. Thank you, Dvijanayak Prabhu. Another thing, that Krishna will always help and do what is the best for us, even for a neophyte devotee like me, Murari says. As an introduction to this, to all of this, I want to say that I do not know what would happen if I'd caught the virus, coronavirus. My lungs, I never had very strong lungs. Sundari, my wife, had to work instead of one colleague who ended in 3 months ago. She had to work for a colleague, doctor. She had to stand in for the colleague who was in quarantine. And during that shift, she was asked to go in the middle, in the height of the infected period, in a retirement home, a nursing home, a home for the elderly. No one wanted to go. She went because there had been a breakout there of the infection. Someone had to go and see which patients needed removing to the hospital. So she went, and after a few days she felt sick, she had a headache, and she was infected. And I was with her, Murari says. And it was time, just at that time, it was when some work needed, because apart from being doctors, they live in the country, remember I told you, and they have quite a bit of land, and especially Sundari is always busy working. She works on her shift, she looks after her family, she cooks for her family. She's the one who looks after the gardening and the fields and the bees, and makes the pickles for the winter from the vegetables and the chutneys and so many things. So it was time to, it was just at that time when she got sick, that so there was some time-bound field work. She was out there in the field, sick even though she was, and Murari was with her, working, and he says, I never like to work on the land, but she does, but she makes me go with her. But I was with her, and it wasn't, she just thought she had a headache or something, and then she realized, oh, by the symptoms, I must have COVID. She didn't get it so badly. But then they stayed in separate houses because they live in a village, and the villages in Croatia, as in much of Europe, are depopulated, so they were able to stay in separate houses during the time when she was sick and for some time after that. And by Krishna's grace, none of the members of the family, that means he and the two kids, they didn't get infected. Then he comments about how my talk, and I was saying that we have to see all worldly problems from the transcendental point of view. After the COVID problem, as I'd said, another one will come, because this is what the world is meant for rectifying us, rebellious souls, rebelling against Krishna. And he's saying that just at the moment when he's writing this, there's a series of strong earthquakes in a small town near Zagreb, the capital, and the whole town is destroyed. So COVID is one thing, and then one whole town is destroyed. We should tell people, he's agreeing with me that we should tell people that this situation is, one major cause of it is the way we live and treat with animals. We eat meat and intimately mingle with animals. Recently, Murari says, I wrote to one famous doctor epidemiologist that we as human beings in the West excessively mingle with animals. We eat billions of them yearly, if you include all the chicken and fish. We live with dogs in the same apartments. We lick our fingers. Look at our hygiene. We lick our fingers while cooking. We lick them while we're turning the pages in the office. We don't wash. We just rub some paper. Of course, our devotees are trained up. The general standard is just to rub the backside after evacuating. Why don't you tell people about having better hygiene and stop eating meat? He didn't answer. The epidemiologist didn't answer. Another point, the pharmaceutical industry, like other industries, they're just after, they're blissful that we got the chance. They'll give injections. It's like they're like a mosquito puts the proboscis in and sucks out the blood. So it's a reverse vaccine. The vaccination is like a reverse. It's an injection, the mosquito is like an outjection, but the outjection is your money. They want to take your money. And if there's some governments are paying for it, but the pharmaceutical companies are making a big killing from this. Someone wrote to him and said, well, everyone should have a free choice regarding vaccine, but it's like gambling. If you get vaccinated, there may be so many bad side effects which we don't know about. But if we don't take it, then we're more liable to get the disease and suffer severely or die. And Murari said, he said, yeah, we're in this world of duality, forgetting Krishna. So this is the kind of situation we're put into, where it's a risky situation, and we're always losing because we always choose to forget Krishna. commenting on someone who is one devotee who's saying that, well, these pharmaceutical companies and the governments, by making mass vaccination. They're making us into mass guinea pigs with many potential dangers and unexpected consequences. And Murari's reply is, yeah, well, this all happened because of guinea pigs, or because of our mistreatment of animals. Now we've become like guinea pigs. And he reads, he quotes, Murari quotes from Srila Prabhupada's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text 24. People do not know that because of killing innocent animals, they themselves will have to suffer severe reactions from material nature. Any country where people indulge in unnecessary killing of animals will have to suffer from wars and pestilence imposed by material nature. Comparing one's own suffering to the suffering of others, therefore, one should be kind to all living entities. You get that point? Atmopam yena sarvacha samam pashati yojana sukham va vadiyadukam sayogi paramo mataha. This is Srila Prabhupada here is paraphrasing from Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna says the best yogi is the one who can what? Put his leg up behind his neck? No. The one who sees that I'm suffering in this world, others also suffer, so I shouldn't mistreat others. So, going on with the quote from the Bhagavatam Purport, one cannot avoid the sufferings inflicted by providence, and therefore when suffering comes, one should fully absorb oneself in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. There you go. What should you do during the COVID pandemic? Chant Hare Krishna. And what should you do when there's not a pandemic? Chant Hare Krishna. So, Murari says that humans think we're some very special species, and it's our prerogative to use animals for our purposes. This, if we're to be honest, this comes from the Bible, or maybe a misunderstanding of the Bible. We're in very early in the Bible. In Genesis, states that God gave man dominion over all the creatures, which people interpret to mean, has been traditionally interpreted to mean, and has been a basic principle of Western civilization, even after the so-called Enlightenment, when people gave up faith in the Bible, many people, and it's going on. But still this concept is very deeply rooted, that animals are just something for us to use as we like. And if you give up Christianity or Judaism, and then you take to atheism, well, anyway, again, it comes to the same thing, because anyway, it's all chemicals. So if we kill some bag of chemicals and eat those chemicals, what does it matter? So, man was given dominion over the animals, just like you ask someone to babysit, look after my children. Could you look after my children while I'm away for 3 hours? Yeah, you come back. What happened? I looked after them. Tasted great. Hey, what is this, rascal? So, eating them, using them in experiments, let them suffer, so we will experiment on them for medical or whatever purposes, so we don't have to suffer as humans. This is demoniac. We don't know, for instance, they say, we don't know how this vaccine will affect the pregnancy. So, okay, well, the humans are the guinea pigs. We tortured so many guinea pigs and chimpanzees and mice and other animals. Now the humans have become the guinea pigs. It's like Animal Farm or Planet of the Apes. According to one's, it's like a karmic reaction. Of course you could say, hey, why are we going to be put through this? We don't want to be guinea pigs. But the governments may force you. Then what will you do? What goes around comes around. And he gives his thought, Murari gives his thought, that it's best not to publicly come out pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine or any such thing. Highly charged issues. It's not... highly charged issues. So what happens, for instance, Murray gives the theoretical scenario. What if, okay, a guru in the Hare Krishna movement advises you should take the vaccine. So you take the vaccine and you get some terrible side effect. Then what will you think? Or what if he advises you don't take the vaccine, and you don't take the vaccine, and you get coronavirus, and you get some terrible, lifelong, health-damaging issue, or you die? You don't know. Either way, it's a minefield. So then you could say, well, just let people decide for themselves. How can you advise? Should I advise my disciples to get a vaccine? If the doctors say you should, but there are some doctors saying don't, and it looks like there are bad side effects. I'm not qualified in this field either way to say get a vaccine. Actually, here in India, especially in South India, so far, the COVID thing, it's largely, I wouldn't say a non-issue, but it's not a major issue. So what to do? Then he himself gives the example that their first child, when they had their first child, at the time that his wife was pregnant with their first child, it was time for her to get a shot, vaccination against hepatitis B, which doctors have to take every 10 years because they're dealing with blood a lot, and hepatitis B is spread by blood infection. I've had hepatitis B. It's a horrible disease. And so they have to take, but at the same time, it wasn't recommended for her at that time because she was pregnant. Although it could have been taken because it was just the beginning of her pregnancy, she didn't take it. And it was discovered during her pregnancy that the child in the womb had no kidneys and would not survive as soon as when the umbilical cord was cut, then the child would die soon. So they recommended, naturally, the doctors recommended to her, so have an abortion. Then they asked me what to do, and I said, no, Krishna sent this, it's a living being, so you chant to the child and then deliver the child and then let this child take the benefit of your association, which the doctors thought was crazy, but they were quite happy with that. And even before, both the husband and wife, Murari and his wife, were happy with this, and they'd pretty much come to the same conclusion before they'd even asked me. Anyway, Murari gives the hypothetical case. Well, if they had the vaccination, then they might have blamed the deformity of the embryo upon the vaccination. Although actually it wasn't, but he's just giving a kind of situation. These kind of things can happen. That some things will go wrong. It's like kakatalya nyay. The one version of kakatalya, the crow lands on the tree, at the same time a palm fruit falls down, and two people are seeing, and one says, well, the palm fruit fell down because the crow alighted on the tree and that caused it to fall. And someone says, no, it would have fallen anyway, it was just coincidence. Another version of this is that just the crow lands on the, as soon as the crow lands on the tree, a palm fruit falls from above, lands on his head and kills him. So that's another version. If you could say, well, he could have come, if it just landed 2 centimeters away, it wouldn't have, and so the you don't know, you, something adverse can go wrong and you blame it on something which is not actually the cause. So there's all, but anyway, and then you go on the internet and blame the vaccine, Murari the doctor says, for all kinds of things that are going wrong, which would have gone wrong anyway. So his conclusion: if there's no Krishna consciousness, there's no solution for the materialist from this world, because their whole aim is to enjoy this world, which is a hopeless endeavor anyway. Durasha. Durasha ye bahirata maninas. Persons who are not mindful of the real goal of life. Nate vidu swarta gating hi vishnam durasha ye bahirata manina. People who don't know that the goal of life is to understand God, Krishna, they're simply floating in a big illusion of trying to enjoy this world, which is a hopeless hope. And Murari gives the somewhat tongue-in-cheek observation, for some of them, maybe it's good that they're in illusion. Maybe it's good that they believe the virus doesn't exist, because they couldn't deal with it as an existential fact. For instance, there are cases, which he knows about very well as a doctor, that if you tell people you have a terminal disease, cancer, and you're not going to recover, then they just commit suicide. Or, in that situation, some people may turn to God just at the end of their life, but others will spend their last days just, okay, I only have so much time to live, let me enjoy it. Drink a lot of alcohol, take a lot of drugs, have sex as long as you can, go to prostitutes, whatever. So maybe for some of them it's good to believe the virus doesn't exist. Some ironic thoughts from Dr. Murari. Thank you, Murari. I did tell you I was going to share it with others, so don't mind if I've said things which are very personal about you. I think it's good to share with others. And I'll get barraged with comments and emails saying, no, there's no such thing, and it's all a big scam, and all this and that. But anyway, that's life. What can you do? I'm just sharing what you had to say. Whatever happens, go on chanting Hare Krishna, whether you believe that coronavirus exists or not, whether you think the impact of it is exaggerated or not, chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. All things must pass. Krishna is eternal. I am eternal. You are eternal. Our loving relationship with Krishna is eternal. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavadebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya chunakang padaya nipatya kritvacha kakushatam etadaham bravimi he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charane kuruta. Hare Krishna.